If Democrats thought that RFK Jr. was going to go away quietly, boy, were they wrong. Instead, he picked a running mate yesterday, Nicole Shanahan, her name. She's 38 years old. She is the ex-wife of one of the Google founders, meaning she has a lot of cheese, a lot of it. She comes with a lot of money. She's a philanthropist, like I said, 38 years old, an attorney, California lawyer, never held elective office, but she is the running mate. An unconventional choice brings youth and considerable wealth to Kennedy in his dark horse campaign, but she's not well known outside of Silicon Valley. She leads the BioEcho Foundation, an organization she founded to direct money toward issues including women's reproductive science, criminal justice reform, and of course, environmental causes. She's a Stanford University fellow, was the founder and chief executive of Clear Access IP, a patent management firm that was sold in 2020, and was married to Google co-founder Sergey Brin from 2018 to 2023. And they have one young daughter raised in the San Francisco Bay Area where Kennedy made his announcement. All right, so there you have it. And, you know, if you can swing California into his column, hallelujah. If RFK Jr. can carry California, hallelujah. Wouldn't that be kind of fun for everybody? Yeah. Anyhow, he's getting attacked from everyone on the Democrat side, even his own sister, who is a Biden stooge. Listen.
I feel strongly that this is the most important election of our lifetime, and there's so much at stake, and I do think it's going to come down to a handful of votes in a handful of states. And I do worry that Bobby just taking some percentage of votes from Biden could shift the election and lead to Trump's election.
Yeah, they're scared to death. They thought they could shove him out. They thought they could silence him. They thought they could rig the process and freeze him out. And he said, yeah, I'm just going to run as an independent. And it seems to be working for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Let's see, what else do we have here? Okay, let's go to the state of Minnesota, a state that's always tempting to the Republicans, but they never seem to get it across the finish line. There, and I'm going to reflect on what Scott Walker said, the former governor of Wisconsin, with us just a moment ago. That crime is one of the big things. Border, Bidenomics, and crime, law and order, public safety, whatever you'd like to call it. Up in Minnesota, the attorney general there, former member of Congress, partisan hack for the Democrats, Keith Ellison, he's the Minnesota AG. He says some cars are too easy to steal. Some cars are too easy to steal. So he's going after the car companies, not the thieves, but the car companies, because the cars are not thief proofed enough, I guess. Listen to this.
We've also got to go upstream. We've got to make sure that the automobiles are not so easy to steal so that they're a tempting, attractive nuisance for young people. And, you know, right now we are investigating two major automakers because their cars are dramatically too easy to steal for young people.
We're investigating the automakers because their cars are too easy to steal for young people. How about you put those young people in jail, give them high bonds, make an example out of as many as possible, and stop the car thieves? Just a crazy idea, Mr. Ellison. Crazy idea, right? Looking at the again, reflecting on what Scott Walker had to say. All right, so there's crime. Democrats blaming the manufacturer, not the criminals. I grew up at a time when if you got caught doing something, you were held to account. You put criminals in jail for the crimes they commit, not because, oh, they were raised bad and society's mean and whatever and whatever and whatever. How about this one? On the economy, one of the things that concerns people, certainly people of a certain age, those that are about to retire or have retired, that's the fate of Social Security, for which there is no plan whatsoever. No plan whatsoever to save Social Security. How do I know? Because Janet Yellen says so. There's no plan whatsoever. So says Janet Yellen from the Biden administration. Listen to this.
Has Treasury really not looked at, okay, we're already charging $4.9 trillion for the deficit, for Medicare, for a lot of other things, and now we got to add social, but we haven't done the math to figure out how much that tax rate would have to be?
The president doesn't have a plan. He has principles. He wants to work with Congress to find a way to protect Social Security and extend its solvency beyond 2034.
Now, if the president wishes and he doesn't have a plan, Madam Secretary, how could he justify not having a plan when he's been in office for 3 years already?
He believes it's important to work with Congress and not
Madam Secretary, he has not worked with us at all on this Senate Finance Committee.
Joe Biden hasn't worked with Congress, certainly Republicans, on much of anything, anything at all. Janet Yellen, as vapid as she is, God, she's dumb. I mean, just, she's just dumb, all right? Your Secretary of the Treasury, just ridiculously dumb. Anyhow, no plan. We have no plan. Well, that's good to know. No plan whatsoever. Nothing at all. We have no plan. Congratulations. Meanwhile, Jill Biden compares sexually explicit material being banned from elementary schools, you know, keeping pornography out of the elementary schools. That's like Nazi Germany, apparently. I'll leave you with this. Listen.
History teaches us that democracies don't disappear overnight. They disappear slowly, subtly, silently. A book ban, a court decision, a don't say gay law. Before World War II, I'm told, Berlin was the center of LGBTQ culture in Europe. One group of people loses their rights, and then another, and then another. Mm-hmm. Until one morning you wake up and you no longer live in a democracy.
We don't live in a democracy, Jill. We live in a republic until idiots like you destroy it. Thought you should know that. It's a republic, Jill. Your husband's in charge of that republic. Barely. He's not really functional. He's not really in charge of anything. Not his bladder and not this country. Just saying. All right? Just saying. Well, some final thoughts on this day on the Steve Gruber Show in just a moment. When it comes to investing, I'm always wondering, am I doing the right thing? And that's why I say you should always get a second opinion. This is Steve Gruber, and one of the people I ask about where to put my money is Nick Hopwood of Peak Wealth Management in Plymouth, Michigan. You see, Nick has over 25 years of investing experience and nearly $300 million under management. Plus, Nick and his team at Peak Wealth are fiduciaries, which means they invest in your best interest, not their own. Many advisors in the industry don't do any planning at all. As certified financial planners, the Peak Wealth team creates comprehensive, holistic financial plans based on your goals and what's important to you. Reach out to Peak Wealth for a second opinion today on your investments, fees, and to make sure you won't run out of money in retirement. By working with Nick, you can retire with peak confidence. Get your second opinion at peakwm.com/Gruber. That's peakwm.com/Gruber. Peak Wealth.